Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We are live right here on this Thursday on FFC. And Scott, what we just discussed right before we hit the airwaves is a different Thursday for football than we are accustomed to. For the first time since August 24th of 2023, the previous now calendar year, we do not have a single football game, either college football or the NFL. That's because week number 18 is just 2 days away, a doubleheader on Saturday, a full 14-game Sunday slate to end out the regular season in the National Football League, and one final national championship game in college football comes our way on Monday. So nothing on Thursday on this day, Scott, but a ton to look forward to and preview here on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, you know what I was saying, and it's true that, listen, 3 weeks ago, they could have realized that Jets-Patriots was going to be a meaningless game, right? I mean, they could have picked a game out to play Thursday. They're playing two on Saturday, so they can't be that concerned about giving, you know, even a team that should make the playoffs playing on Thursday, you know, a couple of extra days rest, not that big a deal. But they decide to go with the Saturday. They leave it Thursday open. It's rare. You're right. It's kind of weird. This is what we're going to get, though. You know, football season, sadly, is coming to a close. The one more college and just a full weekend left of the NFL, obviously. So, but well, what we don't have today, we make up on Sunday. I mean, we got a bunch of games, not that many that involve two teams involved in the postseason race, a couple, but at least every single game, basically, except for the Jets and Giants and or Jets game. And one of the, I think there's one other game that doesn't have either team contending for a playoff spot or in the postseason. So something to look forward to on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely so. All the games in the same windows when teams that are vying for the same postseason position are playing at the same time, it does make the drama in the theater of the end of the regular season all that more exciting. Let's bring in that Sirius XM audience on channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. This is Football Full Circle. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So, Scott, some news and notes around the NFL to prepare ourselves for week number 18. And as we did yesterday, any of the potential playoff clinching scenarios that we have for Saturday and Sunday, we will remind everybody of. Scott, we talked a lot yesterday about who would play, which quarterbacks would be out there, who might sit. Well, Wednesday, a big day in the NFL, because on a normal week, it's the first day you're back on the practice field. So you start to get those practice reports, the guys meeting with the media, you get a little bit of clarity. We got that yesterday. Lamar Jackson will not be out there on Saturday as the Ravens host the Pittsburgh Steelers. The line was 3.5 when we spoke yesterday, Scott. It's now at a full 4 in favor of the Steelers. Mason Rudolph remains the starter for Pittsburgh. They will be booked as a favorite, Scott, needing a win to stay in playoff consideration. It's not win and in necessarily for Pittsburgh, Scott. They do need some help for what is going to happen either later on that Saturday or certainly in to the Sunday slate. But it is a must-win game for the Steelers, now booked as a 4-point favorite. No Lamar Jackson for Baltimore. I'm sure many of the other starters will get some rest on Saturday as well.
Yeah, listen, they need a lot of, they become Dolphin fans. Dolphin fans on Sunday, because one of the scenarios is Buffalo losing to the Dolphins on a Sunday evening. So they're going to have a long time to wait. But if they don't make it, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, boy, that two-game stretch, Ben, where they lose to Arizona and New England back-to-back home games, boy. Arizona and New England both, you know, if you think about it, New England beating the Denver Broncos, you know, if the Broncos win on Sunday and they finish out, which they, you know, are now officially eliminated, you know, that's the one I think they're going to circle and say, man, you know, we screwed. How did we lose that game to the Patriots, you know? And then obviously with Arizona as well. So, but those are the two that Pittsburgh, I think, are going to go back on and say, boy, we're playing such great football now. What could have been two home games and we lose both at home to two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Pittsburgh will be, Scott, in this spot as that four-point favorite, having that opportunity to at least stay alive entering where things stand. So no Lamar Jackson, a benefit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Scott, we said it yesterday. The expectation was, of course, if the Ravens were the underdog in that game, Lamar Jackson was not playing, because fully healthy, if both teams had something on the line, Baltimore at home against Mason Rudolph and the Steelers would be north of a touchdown favorite at the very least. And I guess, Scott, you could be a team like Buffalo that if they lose to Miami on Sunday in the regular season finale against the Dolphins, you could be a Buffalo team a little bit mad about how the scheduling works out, right? That Baltimore doesn't need anything on this final weekend of the NFL regular season, thus is resting its starters, and Pittsburgh gets to take advantage. Why Buffalo is playing a Miami team that has everything on the line and is going to go up against a team in Miami that's not resting anybody. Some injury issues for the Fins, that Buffalo is in a bad spot. But again, it's this week that it all comes down to, Scott, but it is the compilation, of course, of the entirety of your schedule. If you're getting mad now in week 18, you should have handled your business differently in week 4, week 7, whatever it was that might ultimately cost you a playoff spot.
Yeah, and the team that they can blame mostly is the team they're facing, the Miami Dolphins. Because if the Dolphins beat Baltimore, then Baltimore would be playing for something because they would be tied with Miami and still have a chance if the Dolphins were to lose to Buffalo. So if they really want to be upset about anything, then they should be upset about the Miami Dolphins, right? It's just fickle fate as far as Baltimore clinching. I mean, everyone's playing division games, so they're all playing, you know, rivalry type of games. This one is a rivalry, and I still think, Ben, as we talked yesterday, I still think they're going to give an honest effort, and I would be very surprised if this was an easy Pittsburgh win. Maybe they win, but this is a long, long series. The underdog is 12-1 last 13 games. We mentioned it, last 7 games been decided by one score or less, 4 by 3 points or less. Some of those with Huntley, the quarterback playing for Baltimore, in the starting line with Lamar hurt last year. So I think this is going to be a close game, and I don't think it's going to be any cakewalk for Pittsburgh whatsoever. I like Baltimore plus the 4, believe it or not.
Me as well. I think Tyler Huntley playing in a cold weather environment out there with the ability to run the football is going to keep Baltimore in this football game. Even if the Raiders do rest some of their defensive starters, like a Patrick Queen, like a Roquan Smith, then okay, maybe that provides even more of a benefit for the Steelers than if Lamar Jackson was out there on the other side. But I do believe this football game is close. They generally are when the Ravens and the Steelers link up for an AFC North divisional rivalry. Even if Baltimore doesn't have anything to play for, and we'll be looking forward to the third weekend in January after their opening round bye in the postseason, clinching that number one overall seed in the AFC. Scott, elsewhere around the National Football League yesterday, Brock Purdy, one of the 9 San Francisco 49ers named to a Pro Bowl, but Brock Purdy is also one of those quarterbacks who will be sitting on the sideline come Sunday. Scott, it was a line we looked at yesterday when the Rams were booked as a 3-point road underdog in Santa Clara, with the idea that San Francisco had already clinched the number one overall seed and did not need much on Sunday. Christian McCaffrey is out. A ton of the starters for San Francisco are out. But Scott, it's not the starting quarterback for the 49ers I want to discuss. It's the fact that Matthew Stafford is getting a Sunday off for rest into the postseason as well. We'll have that conversation up next live right here on Football Full Circle. All of the incentives and the playoff motivation for the Week 18 regular season finale up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
the significant starters for the Rams sitting on the sidelines on Sunday. Carson Wentz will make his debut as a starter in Los Angeles. And now, Scott, the line that was 3 yesterday in favor of the 49ers stands at 4 in favor of San Francisco.
Clearly, the boys in Vegas think the backups for San Fran are better than the backups for the L.A. Rams. And one other little caveat with this. Now, I have two sides to this. We'll start with the positive side of things. You know, if you're the Rams, right, and you're going to throw Carson Wentz out there, not a first-year or second-year quarterback, a nobody, right, you're going to send a veteran player out there, do you really want to hang him out to dry? You know, there's a part of me that says the Rams wouldn't do that with Carson Wentz. Again, maybe they would do that with a first-year quarterback, but if they're going to rest all their offensive linemen and rest all their offensive weapons, you know, what's the poor guy got to work with? I just wouldn't think he would do that with Carson Wentz. But then on the other side of things, don't forget who's one of the worst preseason head coaches in the NFL, and that's Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is when he decides he doesn't want to play, he doesn't play. They generally get whacked in the preseason. So is this going to be one of those games? That's why I'm leaning towards San Fran. But, boy, that would be a – you know, listen, the poor guy's – you know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He came on the team and, you know, put some reps in and this and that. But to hang him out to dry would be kind of weak. But I get the sense San Fran's going to win by more than a 4.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, right? Because some of the backups for San Francisco, Sam Darnold, Elijah Mitchell, they're probably going to be out there and playing pretty well for this very talented 49ers squad. On the other side, Carson Wentz, who has not started a game in more than a calendar year in the National Football League, will be going about it by his lonesome, except, Scott, for what feels like one spot. Puka Nacua. Now, I don't believe the prop is out yet because of all the changing, lineups that are going to be in place for Sunday in Santa Clara. But Puka Nacua is 31 yards away from the rookie receiving yards record in National Football League history. I think they're going to try to find Puka Nacua a ton on Sunday. So keep an eye on that prop. It's not going to be 31.5. So can he go over and set the new record or whatever the actual yardage ends up being? It will be where Puka Nacua has been, high 60s, low 70s, for the greater part of the second half of this NFL regular season in 2023. But it is an area that I would look at. Puka Nacua, who is expected to play in chase of that rookie wide receiving record. And Scott, here we are on the fourth day of 2024, where we're getting out of bowl season, still the national championship game, of course, but 39 non-college football playoff bowl games, Scott, in college football, and the story is figuring out who's on the roster still, who is playing in the football game, or who has opted out. It's actually a similar story for week number 18 of this NFL regular season, trying to figure out who's out there and how can you quantify motivation, if at all. Scott, are you surprised at all the Rams are taking this path, that they're good with just earning a playoff berth, whether it's the 6 or the 7 seed? They know they're going to be in a wild card position on the road. So whether it's a destination, more than likely in Dallas or Detroit, they'll deal with it when it gets there.
Yeah, you know, pick your poison with either the Lions or the Cowboys. Certainly the story would be great with Stafford going back to Detroit. You know, that really would be a good story, but does it really matter to the Rams? I guess on getting a guy hurt. You know, that's really a no week off either. If don't forget about that. So you want to give these guys a little bit of a rest. It's been a bit of a grind for them. A lot of struggles. They got in. I'm not really that surprised. And again, throwing in that Sean McVay preseason record where he plays games that don't count. Well, he just does not try. So the fact that he's got a game here in which he doesn't necessarily have to try and win. And the other thing is, you know, I originally thought, oh, how about playing for a half? It's kind of like if you're going to play, then you're going to play the whole way, I suppose. It's not like a Lamar Jackson or a Brock Purdy. Yeah, we're going to keep you a little warmed up. We'll let you play a quarter or so. This would be actually playing to win if you were going to play these guys for a half or so. So I'm not surprised. I probably would do the same thing. I'd rest the main guys.
Yeah, I guess that's an idea for, you know, just the overall betterment of your team, knowing that you'll be on the road in a spot against a team that, you know, either way you look at it, for the Cowboys or the Lions, obviously the Cowboys much more frequently in the postseason than that of Detroit, but just in the way that neither of these teams necessarily have dominated postseason action over the last decade or 15 plus years, you're on the road. Let's give ourselves the best shot for that that playoff game, not try to improve our seeding for a potential playoff game. I was a little bit surprised, still am. Actually bet the Rams, Scott, at +3 right as we were wrapping things up yesterday, to only find out about half an hour later that Carson Wentz was making the start. Not my best bet maybe of all time, but we'll see what plays out Sunday in Santa Clara. Also, Scott, elsewhere around that NFL Sunday slate, no Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City. Blaine Gabbert will make the start for the Chiefs in their regular season finale on the road in Los Angeles. It's Blaine Gabbert versus Easton Stick. It's a storyline that will follow the NFL in this Week 18 slate, with backups playing for playoff teams in the year of the backup quarterback, Scott, in 2023.
Yeah, you know, and I hear people say, is there any way we can avoid this? But there really isn't. You know, you deal with it for 1 week. You know, it is what it is. You know, you got, if the teams are locked into their position for the most part, then you're going to get the Blaine Gabberts of the world versus risking Pat Mahomes to throw him out there, you know, and get killed, God forbid, right? Your quarterback and the head coach would never, never live that down if that were to be the case. So I'm not surprised. It has been the worst year I can remember. We've had some bad ones recently, but as far as backup quarterbacks playing, boy, this is, to me, the worst year I can remember in a long, 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 maybe ever. Let's just say ever, with all these backups playing.
Yeah, it's been crazy to see, right? The significant quarterback injuries across the board throughout the NFL that will define this season and who makes the playoffs and who's in the hunt for a Lombardi Trophy will be remembered in 2023. And then what we are seeing epitomized here at the end of the regular season to end out week number 18 is rather crazy to see, with all the atmosphere and the stakes that normally would be in these week 18 games. So that will be a story of what we follow here throughout the backups that will play and will not. And Scott, it's not just backups getting starts, it's who's out there availability wise based on injury. And yesterday, back at practice, was Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but listed as a limited participant. Now, Jacksonville, with a win on Sunday in Nashville over the Titans, Scott, they win the AFC South for a second consecutive year. Last week, Trevor Lawrence did not play. It was C.J. Beathard that led the Jags to a win over the Carolina Panthers, the benefit of an easy schedule, stopping that four-game slide. Scott, do you think Trevor Lawrence will be out there Sunday in Tennessee?
I think he will, but I don't think it matters. Tennessee hasn't said who they're going to start at quarterback. They did say Will Levis would start if he's healthy, gets out of concussion protocol. But whether it's Beathard or Trevor Lawrence or you and I, they should be able to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, you would think so. With all that is at stake, can the Jaguars, mainly defensively, put up a big stand against the Tennessee team, who we're also not entirely sure who the quarterback is going to be out there in Nashville on Sunday? Plenty more Week 18 conversations next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, setting the stage for week number 18 around the NFL. Scott, a big conversation will be around the quarterback status of Trevor Lawrence for this Sunday's game in Tennessee. Back at practice yesterday, a limited participant. It has been a final month of the regular season for Jacksonville, plagued by injuries, namely at that quarterback spot. Trevor Lawrence had an ankle issue, then was in concussion protocol, but did not miss any game until last week. In a matchup against the Carolina Panthers, the Jacksonville Jaguars able to handle business and take care of the worst team in the NFL to keep their hopes of winning a division very much alive for this final Sunday of the 2023 NFL season. But Trevor Lawrence, Scott, with a shoulder injury that had him sidelined for his first career NFL game last week against Carolina, is still an issue plaguing him as he gets ready for this Week 18 finale. They might not need Trevor Lawrence to beat the Tennessee Titans even on the road. But Scott, if he is getting close to be ready to go and you're Doug Peterson, what decision are you making? A fully effective C.J. Beathard or maybe a hobbled Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I got to go with a hobbled Trevor Lawrence. You know, Beathard, when he came in the one game when Lawrence got hurt a couple of weeks ago, it looked really good, right? But then last week against Carolina, not the greatest defensive team in the world, at home, you know, he throws for 178 yards, no touchdowns, sacked three times. If not for Carolina's incompetence, they would have maybe lost that game. That was only a 9-0 game in the third quarter. So I got to give Trevor Lawrence, right? You're facing your franchise. If he thinks he can go, maybe he's not going to, you know, throw the football 70 yards down the field. You'd probably come out and throw a bomb just to show Tennessee, hey, you can throw the football, but in reality, you don't want to do that. So, but I would give him the benefit of the doubt. It's not a concussion thing, so you don't have to worry about that. If he can, you know, if he's not effective for a half, then you yank him. But I think he gets the benefit of the doubt. If he can throw the football a little bit, then you start him.
Yeah, I think if he is even nearing 90%, dare I say, Scott, I think he's going to play in this football game. It's too important to keep him on the sidelines of it, regardless of how effective he can end up being. I think he's going to be out there for Jacksonville. Now, Scott, you said you or I or anybody might be able to step in at the quarterback spot this week and do just enough to knock off the Tennessee Titans, mainly for Jacksonville, as has been the story the last couple of weeks. It's been on the defensive side of the football. Jacksonville booked as a 4.5-point favorite on the road in Tennessee on Sunday. Scott, a couple of weeks ago when Jacksonville was 8-3, it was a minus 1,000 price for the Jags to win their second consecutive AFC South Divisional crown. Now, you could think of it as their money line price to win outright in Nashville on Sunday. It's minus 215, the over-under 39.5. Do you believe Jacksonville will go into Tennessee on Sunday and at least win outright to claim the AFC South?
Yeah, I do. I actually think they cover. Listen, this Tennessee team, they're done, right? I don't know how they beat the Dolphins. That one just like, but they've lost three straight. They haven't scored 20 points in a month. You got to go back to that Dolphin game. Then it was 16 in overtime, 17-3 last week against Houston. And there really is nothing. That's with even Tannehill in the lineup. They say it's going to be Levis if he's healthy, as I mentioned before, but who knows if that's really going to be the case. I get it doesn't matter. Listen, we saw there, right? We talked about this yesterday briefly. Role reversal. You know, 3 years ago when it was the Indianapolis Colts going down to Jacksonville, who had, what, two wins, I think it was, and the Colts needed to win to get into the postseason, and they lost. So the little role reversal, maybe they can grab hold of that and take Tennessee seriously. They beat them pretty easily the first time earlier in the year, 34-14, but you know, there's always that case, and you know, you wonder why teams aren't great. It's because they don't automatically win games they should. But I'd be surprised if they did. That would be, and I said this, Ben, yesterday when you had left. I think Jacksonville has the most to lose out of all the teams this weekend. If Pittsburgh doesn't make the playoffs, listen, you know what? Not that people thought that they would. They're a 50-50 proposition, basically. Yeah. Some of these other teams, same thing, Green Bay, you know, they may control their own destiny and everything else. But to me, it's Jacksonville, because Jacksonville had all the hype. They played so well last year, got to the second round of the postseason, really gave Kansas City a good run for their money in the second round after beating the Chargers in the first round. They were, as you mentioned there, 1,000-1 or 10-1, basically, to win the division. If they don't end up making the playoffs, they're the one to me that stands out of all the teams this weekend that are really just going to be saying, wow, this was a failed year.
Yeah, I would agree, Scott, because again, 8-3, right? 8-3 through the good majority of the first half of this season, looking like not just a team, Scott, that was going to skate by and maybe a weaker division and claim the AFC South for a second straight year, but build upon that dramatic come from behind effort last year in the wild card round against Los Angeles. The conversation, Scott, after 12 weeks around Jacksonville wasn't, okay, is this team going to win the AFC South? They were a minus 1,000 favorite. The conversation around the Jaguars was, can this team truly compete for an AFC championship with the likes of Buffalo and Kansas City and Miami and Baltimore? And I feel like the assessment was pretty positive on Jacksonville. Of course, it has been injury plagued, but This is where the Jags find themselves now. Scott, a win away from hosting a playoff game and winning the AFC South, but I'm not so sure I would feel all that optimistic about backing Jacksonville, given where the injuries have stacked up. Some more good news, though, for the Jaguars. Outside of Trevor Lawrence back as a limited participant at practice yesterday, the 21-day practice window did open up for Christian Kirk. Now, I'm not going to say Christian Kirk is the reason for Jacksonville's slide, but when he got injured, Scott, does exactly correlate to when the Jaguars started to struggle. Because if you remember, 8-3 after 12 weeks, week number 13, Monday Night Football, Jacksonville back on Monday Night Football for the first time in more than a decade. They were hosting the Bengals, led by Jake Browning, in his second ever career NFL start. And in that football game, the Jags were booked as a double-digit favorite. Christian Kirk was injured early on in the opening half. Jacksonville lost that game in overtime to Cincinnati. And of course, the story has gone on from there. Again, Scott, not all because of Christian Kirk, but when he was injured, that's when the slide started for Jacksonville. He is back at practice. The 21-day practice window has opened up. If they make the playoffs and they can make a little bit of a run, maybe we see Christian Kirk before the end of this postseason.
Yeah, maybe. And here's the other thing for me, just from a selfish standpoint. I thought this was going to be a losing bet with Christian Kirk, and I was so mad because he's about 50 yards shy of his receiving total for the year for over. And I thought he was done for the rest of the season. And now he's coming back, hopefully, and then plays a little bit and gets the ball thrown his way. It may turn that loser into a winner. But here's the other thing also with Jacksonville. You know, we're all kind of waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be the man, right? I mean, all the hype, him coming into the NFL. I had scouts saying he was the greatest quarterback they had ever seen since maybe John Elway, maybe ever, right? So he hasn't reached that, Ben, but, you know, if he can come off the shelf here with a banged up shoulder, get a road win, look impressive, then maybe this is his next step into becoming really a really good quarterback, not just a good quarterback like I think he is, but he's not at that great, great level yet. This might be a way to adorn himself to the fans and to the players and to the team and just to the NFL in general. Like, yep, I am here. Jacksonville is here. So a lot riding on this game for the Jaguars.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Scott, they will have an idea of who exactly is hunting them for that AFC South divisional crown by the time they kick on Sunday in Nashville, because the second game of the Saturday doubleheader is between Houston and Indianapolis. In Indy, it's the Texans and the Colts. Scott, it's pretty simple. In all the playoff clinching scenarios that we have for week 18, whoever wins this football game, the Texans or the Colts, as long as there is not a tie, that team is going to earn a playoff berth. And technically, with a Jacksonville loss, would win the AFC South. Still very much in the running for that divisional title, even after Saturday comes to a close. The Texans booked as a slight favorite. It's minus 118 money line for Houston on the road. It's win and you are in, Scott. Who wins between the Texans and the Colts in your estimation?
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans, even though they're on the road, even though they play better at home, Indianapolis is just as much a Cinderella story as the Houston Texans are, but it just goes back to C.J. Stroud. I got more faith in the rookie quarterback in Stroud than I do the, you know, somewhat veteran quarterback, if you will, in Gardner Minshew. I think the Texans are a better team, impressed with what the Colts have been able to do, no two ways about it. I put faith in them 2 weeks ago when they laid an egg and they scored only 10 points. Who was it? Atlanta, I think they played. But I'm going to go with the Texans. I've been impressed with them, and Stroud's back, seems to be healthy. Wish Tank Dell was there, but he's not. But I'm still going to go with Houston.
Yeah, me as well. Again, we've talked about Indianapolis a few times here, Scott. The Colts says they have won 5 of their last 7 games to be in this position with one more home victory to earn a playoff berth and maybe even an AFC South divisional championship. In those 5 wins, they've been booked as a short favorite. Did not cover last week, only winning by a field goal as a 3.5-point favorite against Las Vegas. But in the previous 4 wins, they won and covered as a favorite of less than 3 points. They're a slight underdog here, getting a 1.5 even money on that money line plus 100. But Scott, I guess from an odds perspective, this is what you would want for a winner take all game. Win and you are in, to have only 18 cents of difference on the money line with an over under of 47.5. That should make for some pretty good theater come Saturday night in Indianapolis.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at the over there, And before I saw the number earlier this week, and I was thinking over, but then I saw the number 47.5. It's like, wow, that's a big number, you know, for everything riding on it. You know, I could see these teams getting a little conservative, so I'm going to shy away from that. But I think it's going to be a good back and forth game.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm not sure if we get to 47.5, despite Indianapolis having one of the highest over percentages in all of the National Football League. We'll continue to run through all the potential playoff clinching scenarios and those circumstances up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, as we keep rolling through all of the potential playoff clinching scenarios for week number 18, who is available, what the game means from a motivational perspective, we go now to the NFC South. We talked about this slightly yesterday, Scott. With a victory, the Buccaneers claim the division for a second consecutive year. What a juxtaposition it would be. Tom Brady last year, Baker Mayfield this year, and we might feel even more optimistic about a Buccaneers team this year entering the postseason than we did a season ago. Tampa, a 4.5-point road favorite in Carolina to end out the regular season. The over-under 37.5. A beneficiary schedule for the Buccaneers here down the home stretch with a win and you get the division in terms of who your final opponent could be. And it's the worst team in the NFL at this juncture, the Carolina Panthers. Scott, it should be simple for the Bucks, despite being on the road. How easy do you think it will be for Tampa Bay come Sunday?
Yeah, it's never easy with Baker, right? Right. It's always difficult for him. You couldn't have asked for it, except for the game being at Carolina. You could not have asked for a better spot, right? The worst team by far, you know, only two wins. The next worst team, Arizona and New England, and in Washington have four wins. So they've doubled up the next worst team in the NFL. So if they don't do this, I did say Jacksonville has the most to lose because of expectations and everything else going in. Tampa Bay would be, I think, the most embarrassed. You know, if you can't find a way with your playoff hopes on the line and a loss and they're done, it's not like, well, we can lose and have something else happen to get in. No, they need to win or tie. So I think Tampa Bay does win. I don't know if they cover the spread or not, but that Carolina team is such a mess, right? We talked a little bit about it yesterday. C.J. Stroud has regressed. If you look at his number, or C.J. Stroud, excuse me, Bryce Young has regressed. He's not gotten better numbers-wise. They've gotten worse. The coaching change didn't help. You got to believe Tampa Bay's going to win, right? But they're less than a touchdown favorite. What are they, 4.5, 5.5, depending on where and when you do your shopping here? So it's not a, you know, an absolute 4.5, right? Why are they only a 4.5-point favorite at Carolina?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? You would think a team that is favored to win its division, even on the road against the Panthers, would maybe be close to a touchdown favorite at this point. That game is going to be a very difficult, difficult stretch for this Tampa Bay team. Does not mean that I don't believe they can pull it off. I really do believe that they can, but it is going to be difficult, as a 4.5-point kind of square spread would say. But if the Buccaneers pull it off, if they get the victory, Tampa wins the NFC South. They will host more than likely the Philadelphia Eagles come next weekend in the opening round of the NFL playoffs in this 2023 NFL season. Scott, outside of that, though, if for some reason Carolina upsets Tampa Bay, the game is happening at the same time as another divisional matchup in the NFC South in New Orleans. It's the Saints and the Falcons. New Orleans booked as a 3-point favorite. Scott, if Tampa loses, the winner of that game between the Saints and the Falcons will then claim the NFC South. Who do you think has the best chance to be the spare in case Carolina can pull off the improbable?
Boy, you would think it would be the Saints, right? I mean, at home, laying three, but forget the point spread for a second. But just, you know, New Orleans coming up with a real nice road win last week. You know, you got a little mojo going here. I thought they would be a lot better than what they turned out to be. I figured by at this point they would be locked in. They'd have like 10 wins and maybe battling for a number two or three seed, but that's not the case, yeah. Obviously. But I would say the Saints would be the one. I think they beat Atlanta, and I think then they have to hope for a miracle there.
Yeah. Listen, the Saints have been so bad as a favorite this year. Trying to lay any bit of a point spread with the New Orleans Saints has been very, very difficult and very, very tough sledding for you from a profitable standpoint all year long on New Orleans. I mean, when you look at the numbers against the spread for the Saints booked as a favorite, it has not been good. There is not a lot of confidence for New Orleans laying numbers right now, just 3-8-1 against the spread. Again, I think that flat number of three is probably very key. I don't expect the Saints to blow out the Falcons either way in hopes that Carolina can pull off an upset over Tampa Bay, but I do think New Orleans wins this football game. I still have a Saints to win the NFC South ticket from way back in the preseason, Scott, when it was plus 135. I'm still holding on a little bit of hope. I just don't really think it happens. Now, Tampa is not necessarily a world beater, but the Carolina Panthers are just flat out bad. And I think Tampa Bay will take advantage of that come Sunday, even on the road in Charlotte. Scott, there's going to be a couple of positions there, the 4-5 splits in each conference, where assuming this weekend goes as chalk as we can expect, maybe not covering spreads, but just in terms of the outright outcomes, if the Buccaneers win, they win the NFC South. If the Dallas Cowboys win as a 13.5-point favorite on the road against the Commanders, they will win the NFC East, and they will claim the number two seed in the NFC playoff picture, which means Philadelphia would fall into that 5 seed, the top overall wild card spot. Philly would be on the road in Tampa Bay. I would assume that the Eagles would be the favorites in that football game, even on the road, as we saw last year in the 5-4 game when it was Tom Brady's Buccaneers. But Dallas, I think, Scott, ended up laying 5.5 points even as a road favorite in that matchup against the Bucs, and then obviously blew out Tampa in an easy opening playoff victory.
Yeah. Listen, that's not, and really for Philadelphia, Ben, that's not the worst spot in the world, right? I mean, if you had to play Detroit or Dallas in the first round of the playoffs, then it would be a little, you know, a tough spot. But, you know, going down to Tampa, if it ends up being the Bucs, you know, they would then have to face San Fran, but you're going to eventually have to face San Fran anyway. So, you know, that's not a bad little spot for Philadelphia to fall into if they don't win the division. And I do think I think everything that's supposed to happen this week will happen. I don't think Carolina's going to beat Tampa Bay. I don't think Tennessee's going to beat Jacksonville. I don't think Dallas is going to lose to Washington. I think it's really going to go to form. You know, even if you ask me what would be like the major one, I don't know which one it would be. Maybe Tampa Bay, just because I don't have any confidence in them losing to Carolina. But I really don't think any of that stuff is going to happen. I think we're going to have chalk basically this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Scott, as I'm trying to break down these games and trying to understand where, at least outright, right? Is Tampa going to cover as a 4.5-point favorite? I don't
know. Different story.
Are they going to win by 3 or a point? Exactly. I would agree with that idea just from an outright perspective, probably seeing the favored side at least winning that football game. But there's always something crazy that happens. There's always something unexpected in the NFL that happens. Last week, I would have told you without a shadow of a doubt that Philadelphia would at least win outright against Arizona to make sure they could clinch the NFC East and more than likely be the 2 seed in the NFC. Obviously, that did not happen. The Eagles are slightly broken. The Eagles are going to be an interesting team to evaluate, Scott. I would expect them to be a road favorite in that opening round of the playoffs. Obviously, after that, depending on what happens, if either the 7 seed, which at this moment would be the Green Bay Packers, where they stand and with an outright victory over the Bears on Sunday, that would be the case. Or could the 6 seed upset? That more than likely would be the Rams. if they win, if they lose, regardless, Scott, would any of the six or seven seeds, I'm trying to parse through all this, but without going through all the clinching scenarios, would the six or seven seed be able to upset the Cowboys or the Lions? You would think there's a potential there, but if not, that means we get an NFC Championship game rematch between the Eagles and the Niners if Philadelphia were to knock off the Buccaneers in this case as a road favorite against the NFC South champion. Would that be the case? The Birds and the Niners facing off in the NFC divisional round, that's how things would stack up, and it would be a very, very intriguing spot. Scott, the Eagles are now plus 550. San Francisco is an odds-on favorite at minus 120 to win the NFC Championship. I wonder what that line would be for an NFC Championship game rematch in the divisional round, and I wonder, Scott, how much juice you think the Eagles have, or is this a completely different team than last year with a defense that is really struggling down the stretch?
Yeah, I bet they would be a solid touchdown underdog, which I never would have thought would have been the case. The game would be in San Francisco, obviously. I wouldn't even be surprised to see, depending on how good Philadelphia looked in the first round. But, if they beat, let's say it's Tampa Bay, 20-17, so, 20-14, nothing crazy. I could see that line being 7.5, 8.5, San Fran. I don't think it'll be like a 3 or 3.5 point spread. This Eagles team, I bought in on them, and then they just have not played well. Would I be shocked if they lost to the Giants? That might be the one. Either the Giants knocking off the Eagles this weekend or the Ravens beating Pittsburgh. Those two, I say, are 1 and 2, pick either order, on potential upsets this weekend. But this Philadelphia team's got a lot to prove, and I don't think the boys in Vegas are going to give them any more credit. I think they would be a solid touchdown underdog.
Yeah, I think so as well, Scott. That defense, just when you think about where Philly was last year, excellent against the pass. They actually were a little bit worse against the run, but in an elite front seven that had the second most sacks in a single NFL season, only behind the 85 Bears in the history of this sport. The pass rush is okay, but the defensive change to the coordinator position with Matt Patricia taking over hasn't reaped any benefits for Philadelphia. They're getting healthier with Darius Slay returning, but injuries have been an issue for this Eagles secondary all year. It's just a drastically different team. I give Philly the nod from a postseason pedigree perspective, but I don't really know how far the Eagles are going to go come this postseason. Which, Scott, when you look at maybe the biggest contenders for San Francisco at this point, Dallas obviously has flamed out historically in the NFL playoffs the last three decades. The Detroit Lions are going to host a playoff game for the first time in literally 30 years. You have an Eagles team that is reeling. The odds on favorite is San Francisco, so I guess the odds do make sense, but it really seems like the path for the 49ers is pretty crystal clear to a Super Bowl appearance in Las Vegas.
Yeah, minus 120. Not even plus 120. They're minus 120 to make the Super Bowl. Wow. I mean, that are they that big of a prohibitive favorite in your eyes? I mean, could you see them losing? The fact that Philadelphia is the third choice tells you how much respect Philadelphia is still getting with the boys in Vegas, right? Ahead of the Lions, which is the surprise. I figured the Lions would be ahead of them, but not the case. I think the Rams are the dangerous little 25-1 team. I would not be laying minus 120 at San Francisco. I still think they have some warts they'd have to be worried about. I would not do it. But that tells you they're going to be favored over everybody, and that tells me they're going to be favored by at least a touchdown over everybody. Dallas at home, Philly at home, Detroit at home, pick whoever it may be, San Fran at home. Heck, they're favorites by 4 points over San Fran with nobody playing. So they're going to be a solid touchdown favorite over everybody. I just don't think it's that. They may win, and they may get there, but I think they're going to have to survive a couple of scares, or at least one scare anyway along the way.
Yeah, I think so as well. I don't think it's going to be a triumphant run with touchdown or double-digit victories each and every week, but it does make sense for how the path sets up, and obviously the bye week and home field advantage on their way in Santa Clara to a potential Super Bowl 58 appearance in Las Vegas. That's what the odds are saying as of this moment. We'll continue our preview of week number 18 to end out the NFL regular season up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more moments, but don't worry. We'll be back on a Friday starting at noon Eastern time to run through each and every game of a full 16-game NFL weekend slate in the final weekend of the regular season, week number 18. Two games on Saturday, 14 more of a full Sunday slate where, as Scott said, 13 of the 16 have some sort of playoff ramifications or a team that has already clinched a playoff birth. Scott, I asked you before, the 5-4 matchup in the NFC, Philadelphia more than likely the top wild card team, whoever wins the NFC South, Philly would be on the road. At this point, it's probably the Buccaneers. I said, would the Eagles be favored? I believe they would. Same question, Scott, in the AFC. Let's say Jacksonville takes care of business in Nashville against the Titans. The Jaguars win the AFC South. They are going to be the 4 seed. We already know who the 5 seed is going to be in that conference. It is the Cleveland Browns at this moment. If Cleveland does end up being on the road in Jacksonville, Scott, who would be the favorite side in that football game?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Would they really make Joe Flacco a road favorite at Jacksonville? I think a lot determines on how Jacksonville plays this Sunday. If Jacksonville squeaks it out, Trevor Lawrence doesn't play particularly well, maybe C.J. Beathard has to come in, then, you know, I could see the Browns, you know, being a slight favorite, 2.5, maybe 3-point favorite, but otherwise I think Jacksonville would be the favorite. If they went in convincingly, double digits, Trevor plays well. Cleveland's a 7-point now underdog at Cincinnati, which means they might lay right. An egg. And even though they're not really trying, that has an imprint on people's minds. So Jackson would be the favorite then.
And Cleveland would remain the 5 seed, even if the Dolphins did lose to the Bills. They would both be 11-6, but Cleveland's AFC record at 8-4 would be better than Miami's at 7-5 if both teams lost in week number 18. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll set the stage for week 18 even more tomorrow on a Football Friday starting at noon Eastern time.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.